Why do I feel the beginnings of an anxiety response when I go beyond thinking about social justice in the abstract to thinking about how to actually accomplish it? I need to spend some time dwelling in my anxiety, turning it over to see what lies hidden underneath, if I am ever to get beyond it. Doug, some of this is just necessary therapy for me, but I don't think it's just me. And I think we have to name the fears that are keeping us from doing what we want to be doing. I also need to go back and reread David Perkle's later books. I think this statement from his 2004 book belongs somewhere in our written text. He wrote, "Perhaps the most serious threat to all of our hopes for a better world has been the increase of cynicism and despair about the possibilities of fundamental positive change, and with it a significant loss of the energy and vitality that has fueled the impulse to create a more just and loving community. Because of this, I have become convinced that, as educators and citizens, our most important and pressing task is to confront and overcome the paralyzing and debilitating effects of cynicism and despair." David Perkle wrote in the same book, "It may be wiser for educators to see themselves as cultural and moral leaders and critics who choose to focus their efforts on educational institutions." How can we do all of this, be cultural and moral leaders and critics, and teach people how to dance too?
Playing devil's advocate here, why would we, you and I and others like Sherry Shapiro and Isabel Marx, not try to teach dance as cultural critics and leaders? Isn't this our area of expertise, our calling, what people know us for? And besides, if we don't, who will?
Your comment reminds me of the famous phrase from Rabbi Hillel, especially the last few sentences. "If I am not for myself, then who will be for me? And if I am only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when?" In dance education, we have felt such a need to emphasize the first sentence of this quote, to be advocates for ourselves and our field. Enormous amounts of our time and energy have gone into this kind of advocacy work, to try to ensure that dance has a place in education and thus ensure the futures of our programs and our own jobs. We think of this as a way to advocate for young people, to make sure that everyone has, to use a catchphrase from the field, a chance to dance. Most of us, I trust, don't think that assuring that all children have a chance to dance is enough, but it is so easy to get sidetracked, to think there is not enough time, such a scarce resource, to advocate for social justice as well as advocate for dance, and of course teach our students how to teach dance. I know that I sometimes counsel overwhelmed students that we can't do everything, not even everything that is really important, at least not simultaneously. We have to make choices and set priorities. I admit I often feel guilty with the choice I made to stay in dance education. It would seem so much easier to teach social justice if, after I finished my doctorate, I had chosen a career teaching social foundations of education instead of returning to dance education. If I had become a David Perkle or a Svi Shapiro. Really, I keep coming back to this. How much does it really matter how well people can do a plié in a world where there is such pain, such injustice? I know David Perkle challenged both of us with some version of this question.
It's a really good question, but isn't there an important fanning out, breadth approach to working towards social justice? Do we only want the David Perkles and Ted Kennedys of the world doing this work? There are a lot of little girls in the world who learn how to do pliés and learn how to teach pliés. Don't we want dance to be a part of this, as small as it might be? Is that what you're asking, contemplating how small dance is relatively?
It's even a more basic question. How can I justify using my time to find better ways of teaching pliés or even creative dance when children all over the world are dying from hunger and preventable diseases? One justification for me has come from thinking about the definition of freedom. If people were free from injustice, from oppression, what would they then be free to do? The idea is that we are the ones who keep dance alive so that we remember that it is not enough to be free from oppression. We need to keep alive sources of joy in the world. But I always wonder if this is just a cop-out, a way to justify my own choices. On my better days, though, I think that maybe this is not just a cop-out. Maybe I have just made some of the kinds of compromises that Ted Kennedy knew he had to make to get anything done. Obama knows this too. The perfect is the enemy of the good.
Another answer to this question is that if people were free from oppression, they would then be free to do what white middle-class people do every day, which for our purposes here means socializing their children to believe that they can determine their own destinies, succeed at school, and make meaningful lives for themselves.